For those of you who don't know me, my name's Tad Gregorich. I'm one of the associate pastors at Rhema Bible Church, and also I'm the dean of Rhema Bible Training College here in the USA. And so every once in a while I get to come over and teach the Word of God, and we sure enjoy it coming over here with this you great group of people. You're so receptive. You treat us so well. We just thank you for that and always enjoy coming over. Praise the Lord. If you've got your Bible tonight, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Interesting enough, we didn't talk about it even on our short little ride over here about what songs they were singing or what I was going to preach on. But we talked about Jesus being alive and Jesus being raised from the dead. And I want to talk about the resurrection tonight. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, I know coming up, we got Easter coming up. Is it the 21st? Does that sound right? Yes. April? Yeah, coming up, you know, and there'll be some. But I want to talk tonight about Jesus because he is alive, because he is resurrected, and see the importance that the early church, same church we're part of in the book of Acts, the early church put on the subject and the truth that Jesus is alive. You know, you can't even really, we're going to see, you know, we'll finally end up, I'll make the statement now. You can't become a Christian if you don't believe Jesus is alive. All right? You can't be what the Bible says, saved, if you don't believe Jesus is alive. And we'll see that. But that word saved, that's the all-inclusive word of the gospel. Healing is ours today because Jesus is alive. Deliverance, freedom, safety, you know, and all that comes, being born again, everything that we have to do with God is ours today because Jesus is alive. So let's start here in Ephesians chapter 1. We'll start in verse 17. Now, I read from the King James Bible, but sometimes I take the King James words out and substitute them with just regular. I don't speak English. I speak American. And so I tell people when I go overseas, sometimes, especially like the nation of Kenya, they've learned proper King's English, you know, not these and that, but they've learned proper English because they were a British colony for up to 1963. And they call our English junk English. It's like, what do you mean junk? I said, I apologize. I don't speak that English, but I speak a form of it. All right. Here it says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now let's center up here in verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward on earth for us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought or worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now notice here that it appears that all of the authority, talked about in verse 21, 22, and 23, is a result of Jesus being raised from the dead. If God had not raised Jesus from the dead, then he wouldn't be seated above all principality and power. And all of that wouldn't be under his feet. But because God raised him up from the dead, and because he rose victorious, he is seated at the right hand of God. And so any authority that we might have, you know, we won't go back there, but you remember Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. Now you go therefore. What's he doing? Delegating authority. He can delegate it to us because he's alive. Think about it. Really, other than just for a short time, in order to maintain, you know, you could in your will, you could delegate the power of attorney to somebody to act on your behalf. But what would happen if you wrote out a will, you died, the will went into force. A will doesn't go into force unless you die. But then you rose again to make sure that it got carried out the way you wanted it. That's what Jesus did. All right? He rose again. Now, none of us are going to be able to do that. All right? So if you're already planning that, I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. But he did it. Glory to God. Let's look in Luke chapter 24. We're going to look at several. But the early church, you know, these guys, they went out and they laid the foundation for the church. We're still part of the church. They are. How many know the book of Acts of the Holy Ghost still being written, isn't it? It's still, there's really no ending to it. Praise the Lord. Every one of us has a chapter problem. We could write chapters on what God's done as we've obeyed him. Think about all this time after all these 2,000, how many chapters would there be? You know, there's no telling how many chapters that some of these young folks are going to write before they get done. But if Jesus tarries, you know, it'll be volumes and volumes. Now here in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, let's look at chapter 24. And one verse here, I want to read verse 46. Jesus is talking here. And he said, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ. In other words, it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Now, I want you to notice here, he said it was necessary. It behooved it. It was necessary for Christ to die, but not only to die. And a lot of times, you know, if we're not careful. Now, listen, when I say this, understand, I'm not making little of the cross. I mean, anybody that preaches be foolish to say the cross didn't matter. But it wasn't just the cross, was it? That's the death. There's an empty tomb. Jesus is alive today, right? So it's not just his death. He died for many reasons, to bear our sins, our sickness, but he rose that we might have life. Amen. Right? He rose to life so that we could have that same type of thing. So let's look in the book of Acts. Let's look at some of the things they stated here in Acts chapter 2. Now, the early church, you know, in dealing with, of course, the Jewish people as they had to, and the Jewish religious leaders, especially early on, I found it's kind of interesting. They really enjoyed telling them, you killed him, God raised him. You know, they put it, you're the ones, you put him to death, but God raised him from the dead. All right. Now, listen, we don't need to. Some people today, you know, they're anti, you know, anti-Jew because, well, they're Christ killers. They didn't have a choice. He was going to die anyway because it was God's plan. All right. Praise the Lord. Acts 2, verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. See, this is God's plan, he's saying. You have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up. Glory to God. Having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held of it. For David spoke concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life, and you shall make me full of joy with your countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher or his grave is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Glory to God. Amen. Look over in chapter 3. Now, in chapter 3, the first part of it here, Peter and John going up to the temple, the hour of prayer. You know, that lame man was laid there. He's expecting them a gift from them because that's how he makes his living, by begging. Peter says, look at us, silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I to thee. And that took him by the hand, said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He reached down, he got healed, went walking and leaping and praising God. And they're asking them about it. So look at verse 11, Acts 3:11, please. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look you so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? See, it wasn't Peter. It wasn't John, was it? Amen. It wasn't Oral Roberts. It wasn't, you know, anybody else that you could think of that miracles took place. It wasn't them. It was God. Hallelujah. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Glory to God. I love that. His name, through faith in his name. Whose name? The risen Christ, Jesus, who's alive and well. Hallelujah. His name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. And I like that part about, and has given him perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 4. Chapter 4. There's so many. We're just going to take some time and look at these and read these. I found this out. Boy, if you can read scripture with a little bit of excitement about it, that's pretty good sermons. Scriptures make good sermons. You know, you can read just sit here for 30 minutes and read scripture. If you do it right, it's like, oh boy. I did that one time at Rhema Bible Church over there in Broken Arrow, and Brother Cooper Beatty, who taught at Rhema up into his early 90s. Brother Cooper was in the first graduating class at Rhema. He was a traveling evangelist and a pastor in the Friends denomination when Rhema started, and he was in his early 60s, and he got saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost, came on to Rhema there. He was Billy Brim's pastor. If you know Billy Brim, he was her pastor up there in Collinsville, Oklahoma. And so he came to me after service and said, I've never heard that before, but that was one of the best sermons I've ever heard. And I didn't make one comment. I just read scripture. I just kept reading scripture. He said, that was one of the best sermons I've ever heard. You know, he never said that about anything else I ever preached in my life. That was the only thing. So I just thought I just better stick to reading scripture, Brother Coover. Hallelujah. All right. Here in Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we be examined of the good deed done to this paralyzed man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which the builders rejected, which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, have you noticed, evidently, the fact that God raised him from the dead is an important part of the message of the gospel. And they're saying, they keep saying these miracles are taking place. All right? In Acts 2, I mean, they spoke with tongues. People heard them speak in their own languages. People there from all over the world. And they heard them speak in their own languages. That was a miracle, and it was a result of God raising Jesus from the dead. Here this man is healed. It's a result of God raising Jesus from the dead. They said he's saved. It's a result of God raised Jesus from the dead. All right? It's a result of that. Well, is Jesus still raised from the dead? Yes. All right, then we can have the same things. Look in chapter 5. My Amanda and I, this is my wife Amanda, I didn't introduce her. Sorry about that, sweetheart. Coming up here next month, it'll be 31 years that I've been blessed. I don't know if she's been blessed 31, but I have been blessed for 31 years to have her. We dated for how long before that? 6 years. Long distance, before cell phones. You remember when long distance phones calls used to cost? You just didn't make a long distance call, did you? Now, what'd you do? We wrote letters. Yeah, wrote letters and every once in a while make a collect call. What's a collect call? What do you mean collect? You know, operator? Yeah. All right. Acts chapter 5. Because I was at Rhema and then she went to college. So that's why we were apart for so long. Acts chapter 5, verse number 29, I believe. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. How many know that good advice? The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be the prince and savior for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. Glory to God. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus. What's he saying? Is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, this God of our fathers, the God of Moses, the God of David, the God of whoever you can think about, you know, that was that they would count as their lineage. That same God raised this man up, raised Jesus up. Glory to God. Let's look at Acts chapter 10. Jesus is alive. And we need to live in a consciousness, the consciousness of it, that God raised him from the dead. Yes, he died. And then we don't want to do, we're not making his death a small thing. All right? But today we're talking about his resurrection. And I think, but we have to talk about both. Because if he's still dead, then we have a whole different story. But he didn't stay dead, did he? He rose again, as we're seeing here. Hallelujah. All right, look at Acts 10, verse 38. We'll start there. How God, he's preaching here. Peter's at the household of Cornelius, and he's preaching. It's a Roman soldier. He loves God, though. And so he's been praying, and God sent and did supernatural thing to get Peter to go there. And Peter's preaching and talking about Jesus. And verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing. Everybody say this, healing is good. Notice that. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's what I was about ready to say here. We just, Amanda, myself, my nephew Joshua, and my son Tanner, who are both Rhema graduates and young, they're part of the Rhema Ministerial Association. We just were in Kentucky and did 12, from Sunday morning to Wednesday night, did 12 sessions on the subject of divine healing. And just had a great, we saw miracles, saw people get, but we were more than that. But what I was saying, my point on that was, you know, sometimes even with this type of thing, we let things slip. We don't stay strong in things that we need to stay strong in. We get off on side issues sometimes, all right? We need to remind ourselves that God raised Jesus from the dead. He's alive, right? And we need to remind ourselves that part of our covenant is healing and health in our bodies. Okay? We didn't say anything new to anybody. There's nothing new to say. It's all in the Word. But we have to remind ourselves, and Brother Hagin said this, every generation has to be taught, or that generation will lose it. And so that's why Rhema does what it does, is training every generation to take the message that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, hallelujah. Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost, and Jesus is coming back again, right? Glory to God, all right? So keep reading here. Verse 39, he says, we are his witnesses of all the things, we are witnesses of all the things which he did in the land of the Jews in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up. There's that phrase again. Glory to God. God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Now, there's one I didn't have underlined. I need to underline that one. I've got all these statements where it said he rose from the dead, and I didn't underline that one. After he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to him give all the prophets witness through his name. Whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. Glory to God. Now let's look here in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Now remember, we agree, but I wanted to give you lots of evidence about Jesus being raised, that God raised Jesus from the dead. Because I want to get that in our thinking and so cemented that there's no question. Because if God raised Jesus from the dead, then there's no question about your healing or about your salvation or about your freedom, because Jesus is already raised. Now, if he's still in the grave, we don't know. But Paul prayed in Ephesians 1, remember, that we would know the power of his resurrection, the power all right, the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, to you who believes, according to the working of his mighty power, which he did what? Which he demonstrated, or which he used, or which he worked when he raised Christ from the dead. What kind of power would you call that? Resurrection power, we could call it. I love what it says in Ephesians 3. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. It's already in you. Woo, that's good news. What kind of power? That same power that raised Jesus from the dead, it's in me. It's in you. You think about it. You know, if you really think about it, you start thinking, well, wait a minute, if God's power is in me, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, if death could not stand against this power, then what's this pain doing hanging onto my body? What's this sickness doing hanging? What's this doing? Because that same power, why? It's working in me. But it's just like this, you know, I don't know who got, Glenn, were you the first one here? When you came, are there safety lights in this room? No. All right. You come in here, the lights are off, okay? And I'm sure it could be pretty dark in here if there's no, you know, to get your eyes to adjust. But, you know, if you walked in here, now it does happen sometimes, right? The power goes out, right? But you don't have any indication. There wasn't a storm. There wasn't anything. Although, I don't know, we got a lot of, you got to get all that rain yesterday here. I mean, our street looked like a river flowing away from us last night. We sit up a little bit, so everything was going downhill from us. But there's no indication. Now, you know, Glenn could have walked around and said, well, you know, it's so bad, we don't have any power. You know what? How are we going to get the lights on? No, Glenn had to do what? He had to flip the switch. Turn the switch on. The power's there. The power's in you. The resurrection power's in you. You got to keep the switch, as Brother Hagin called it, the switch of faith, turned on. Now, how do we do that? Well, by what we believe and by what we say. We're going to see that. That's where I'm going. All right, but that's what keeps that resurrection power active, all right? All right, did we read Acts 13 yet? I don't think we did. Verse 26, let's start there. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fears God, to you is this word of salvation sent. Now, the word salvation, it means healing. You could say this word of healing sent, this word of freedom, of deliverance sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. We call it the tomb. But God, here's that phrase, but God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. And we are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he raised up Jesus again. Now, there's one, I forgot to underline that one. So I'm going to underline that one. Okay. Now listen, if you got a Bible you can't write in, go find you a cake dish with a glass top. Put it in there, and then go to Walmart and buy you a $5.95 Bible and write all over it, okay? Praise the Lord. He said, has God raised this Jesus up again? As it is written in the second Psalm, you are my son, this day have I begotten you. Now, wait a minute. There's an interesting statement. So evidently, that statement in Psalms, and we're going to see it in Hebrews 1, you are my son, this day I have begotten you, was not in relationship to when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It's in relationship to when God raised him from the dead. Isn't that what it just got through saying? Yeah. After he raised him from the dead, you are my son. Okay, let's read that again. Read verse 32. And we declare unto you glad tidings how the promise which was made unto the fathers, God has fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, you are my son, this day have I begotten you. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he also said in another Psalm, you shall not allow your Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep or died and was laid into his father's and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Who raised him? God raised. Who was it? Jesus. And he said to him, when he raised him up, after he had died on the cross, after he had completed completed bearing our sins, after he had completed bearing our sicknesses and carrying our diseases, after he had borne the curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, amen, after he had paid that entire price, God raised him from the dead and said to him, you are my son, this day have I begotten you. Now, the New Testament, it's interesting, it refers to Jesus in this, as in the epistles, as the first begotten from the dead. All right. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Glory to God. And he's alive and seated at the right hand of God. And there's so much, you know, you get talking about this and you have to, well, I want to stay on my subject, but you know, when God raised Jesus up from the dead, how many of you know he raised us from the dead? When he seated Jesus at the right hand of God, the Bible says we were seated there with him. Now here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, talking about Jesus, his son, it says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, he has by inheritance attained a more excellent name than they. How many know the name of Jesus is greater than the name Gabriel? It's greater than the name Archangel Michael. It's greater than any other name. The name of Jesus. By inheritance, he said, from the Father. Verse 5, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, you are my son, this day have I begotten you. Now remember, when did he say that to him? When he raised him from the dead. All right. He didn't say that to any other angels. All right. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When did he say that? When he raised him from the dead. See, he redeclared, this is my son, I am his father. And again, when he brings the first begotten, verse 6, into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he said, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God. Now listen, not only did he call him Son, now he calls him God. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Now what we just saw took place there was the name exchange of a covenant ceremony. God called Jesus God, gave him his right to use his name. Amen. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, but Jesus said, my Father, he's greater than all. So he understands the Father's the greatest, but God said to him, you are thy throne, O God. Hallelujah. When did he say it to him? When he raised him from the dead. All right, let's go to Romans chapter 10 then. I read all of that to get to this. Romans 10. Now again, let's define the word saved or salvation according to the Bible. It means, I like what Barclay, you know, the Barclay, which is, if you're a Southern Baptist, you've read Barclay's notes on the Bible, okay? Because a lot of the Sunday school material is written by Barclay. But he has a great note in Romans 1, verse 16. On that it says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. He said the Hebrew and Greek words for salvation and saved are the all-inclusive words of the gospel. Gathering together all the redemptive acts of God that he accomplished through Jesus Christ. It includes, now this is in Southern, it includes safety. It includes soundness. It includes preservation. And then he says, it includes healing. It means healing. Do you remember when Jesus told the woman of the issue of blood, your faith has made you whole? Same word that is translated as saved many other places in the New Testament. All right, in the English language, saved, made whole, healed, means the same thing. All right. So in looking at this, look what it says here, Romans 10:9. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, all right. So there's two aspects here. We're going to say something, and we're going to believe something. But look at this. And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now, isn't that the same phrase we've been reading? God has raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. All right. You shall be saved. Now, why? For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And the scepter, now that's not in here, but let's go back to Romans 1:8. The scepter of his kingdom is righteousness. When you and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, we become partakers of his kingdom, which is righteousness. That's the scepter of, that's the scepter would be, that's what you know. When you see that scepter, you know that's Jesus. Amen. Righteousness. Now you think about it. Every other religion in the world is trying to get right with God. They're trying to get there. Okay? Even the Old Testament, it's about trying to get right with God by doing all these things. But God has a different plan than that. He gave us the law to show us we needed a Savior. Then he sent the Savior. Then the Savior died for us, bore our sins and sicknesses and diseases on the cross for us, right? That we who knew no sin, we who knew no righteousness, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God, right? I like to say it this way. He who knew no sin for me took my sin upon him that I who knew no righteousness might become the righteousness of God in him. I couldn't be right. But he came and made a way through belief to be right with God. Hallelujah. Now, what do we have to believe? Not that Jesus is good. Not even that he's God. We don't have to believe that, oh, he was a good man. We have to believe that God raised him from the dead. And I confess him Lord. Now, see, you wouldn't confess that a dead person's your Lord. Because Lord means master, or it means all those things. It means someone who's going to give you instruction, someone who you're going to yield to, who's going to tell you about life. He's alive. Why do we say Lord? He's alive. What's he Lord of? Well, is he Lord of your body? Is he Lord over? Lord means over, ruler. What did it say in Ephesians 1? He's seated far above. He is the ruler. Glory to God. He's ruler over sickness and disease. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean if he tarries, we're never going to die. We're going to die. But you don't have to be sick to die. You can just die if you want to. All right? You understand that. Now, listen, they may say, complete heart failure. Well, when your spirit leaves your body, everything's going to fail. Doesn't matter what it is. The doctors can say all they want. It's failed. Yeah, body's failed. You know, God created this body in Genesis chapter 2, you remember? Verse 7 said, and out of the dust of the ground, God created man. And God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. See, the real you is what God breathed into that body. That's the part that's us. That's the real us. This body is just out of this earth. And, dust you were, unto dust you'll return. You know, it's all those scriptures and all those sayings that people say at funerals, you know. And ashes to ashes and whatever, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's all right. It's just this body. It's what allows us to live here on this earth. We're going to get a new one, a body that allows us to live in heaven and spend eternity. It's going to last eternally. It's going to be a whole lot better than this one. This one is not lasting. How many of you noticed it? Have you noticed that already? It's not lasting. I don't know what's wrong with it. It's not lasting. Well, this one's not going to last. But thank God we're going to get a new one. Hey, man, any of you ever had clothes wear out?
Yes.
Guess what? When you threw them away, they quit being alive, didn't they? If they're not on you, they're not alive. And if you've thrown them away, they're gone. Okay? That doesn't mean you're not alive. When I take this body off, it'll be like putting that piece of clothing that no longer works. It's no longer, maybe it's got a few rips in it. Maybe it's got a few holes in it, you know, a few things. It's worn out. It's been through the ringer a few times. We're just going to lay it aside. I'm not going to wear that anymore. There's going to come a day that I'm going to lay this aside. I'm not going to wear this one anymore. But I'm going to get a new body, a resurrected body. That same type of body. Jesus rose from the dead. Amen, because he's alive. Well, if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord over my body, because Lord over all sickness, he's Lord over all disease, then it becomes effective because I believe God raised him from the dead. You see that? I didn't have this in my scriptures. Morgan, you can find it. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Let's just read here. Verse 9 through 11. Philippians 2, 9, 10, and 11, all right? King James Version again, or my version of the King James Version. Look at this. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, what's that name? Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Well, how many of you know every sickness has a name? Right? But the name of Jesus is greater. It's greater. Hallelujah. It's exalted high. But in other words, you could say it this way. It is Lord over that whatever that other name is. Amen. Then he says, bow things in earth, things on earth. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I've done it before. I've ministered to people. I've done it for myself, but I've ministered to people, and I've used that, and I've said whatever the disease is, you have to bow your knee to the name of Jesus, and you have to confess that Jesus is Lord over you. Not to the person, but to that disease. Just speak to it. And I've seen people get healed, get instantly healed. Because that has to obey. The name of Jesus must be obeyed. Amen? Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, from the very beginning of the service, we sang about how Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. In our songs, we sang about it because he is. It's the truth. Jesus is alive. We've seen from your word the importance of it. And Father, we thank you that you raised Jesus from the dead. And we believe it in our heart and we say it with our mouth. He is Lord over all because he's the risen Savior. He's the risen Lord. And he's alive today. And because of that, we have salvation. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Before we go tonight, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't want to leave here tonight without making that decision. I know him most, and I want to introduce him to you tonight. So if you want to accept Jesus, very first time, you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior before, you've never believed, you realize tonight you believe in your heart, but you've never confessed it with your mouth, then I want to pray for you. Now, I want to just wave your hand at me if you want me to pray for you. All right? All right. If you're here tonight and you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm going to have Glenn and Heather come on up here. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost or you have need of any other... See, listen, God sent the Holy Ghost to empower us. And you want to receive it just like they did in the book of Acts as far as the evidence with the speaking of other tongues. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks forth mysteries. The Bible also says, he that speaks in another tongue edifies, builds himself up. Jude said, we build up ourselves in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit, I'll pray with my understanding. I'll sing with the Spirit, I'll sing with my understanding. And then he said, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than y'all. I don't know if it's a contest or not, but it was important, and it's still important today. If you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, as soon as we dismiss here, you come on up, and Glenn and Heather will pray with you. But if you have any need whatsoever, they're going to pray with you according to the Word of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Sister Jane, why don't you find our first-time guests, take them to that special place. Now, if you want prayer, you can, there's time for that, but she'll take you. The rest of us, let's stand up as they're going to head to that place, get that gift from Pastor Mrs. Hagen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, before you leave tonight, tell somebody, God raised Jesus from the dead, and I believe it. All right? God bless you. Have a great rest of the week. Praise the Lord.